We thank you. We appreciate you, God. Oh, my God. You know, we should never take his presence for granted. Hallelujah. The very fact that he wants to be with you, that he wants to be with us. Glory to your name, God. And he wants to impart into us, and he wants to pour out on us. We ought to be excited about that because we have so many needs. We have so many. We're so needy. We're so needy. Hallelujah. And he wants us to want him. He wants us to know how much we need him. And it is in his presence where he can give us fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. Everything that we need, we can get it in his presence. Anything that we need to know about, we can get the answers in his presence. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We don't have to live our lives aimlessly or cluelessly because he can reveal it to us in his presence. Amen. Come on, clap your hands and bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. I honor God for just being here today. I thank God for waking me up this morning. I thank God for what he's doing in my life. I thank God for how he's just keeping me, how he's maturing me, how he's using me. I just thank God in so many different ways. I thank him for the many gifts that he's given me. I don't take it for granted. And I try to make the most of every gift, and I try to offer my gift as a service unto him, because it's not about me. It's all about him. It's all about doing what he wants me to do with all of my gifts. And I thank God for it. He didn't have to choose me, and I feel honored that he did choose me. And I just glory God, glory his name, give glory to his name for that. I thank God for my children. Could y'all praise God for them? These are my babies. They came to assist me on today, and I thank God for that. Thank God for how he's using them in different churches and really getting the glory out of their gifts and their lives. And to God be the glory for that. One thing I've discovered is that one of my purposes is to lead and to leave people into the presence of the Lord. To lead and to leave them into the presence of the Lord, to point people to God through worship, which will ultimately lead to an abundant life. So that's one of the purposes that I've discovered, and I know that the Lord uses me in that way, whether it be music or whether it be teaching, preaching, whatever it is, but that is my purpose, is to lead and to leave people into the presence of the Lord. And it starts through a relationship. Amen. Not religion. I don't like that song that says, "Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord." Because it's not about religion. It's about relationship. Oh, amen. Amen. It is through our relationship. So relationship leads us to worship God. And worship gives us access to his presence. And in his presence, we can begin to get abundance of life, because he tells us the answers. He tells us the direction in which we should walk. He tells us what to do. He tells us who not to deal with. He tells us what not to be involved with. So ultimately, it brings us abundant life. Amen. And it's through a relationship that you discover your purpose in life. So my topic today is, what is your relationship status with the Father? Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what is your relationship status with the Father? And I'm just going to pray right here. Lord, we just thank you. We just give you glory, honor, and praise, God. Anoint my ears to hear from you. Anoint my eyes to see. God, use me for your glory. God, I've prayed. I've studied, God, but you do the part that I cannot do. Oh, God, I've availed myself, and it's not about my ability, but it's about my availability. So you do, God, what I cannot do. Let your anointing flow. Let something that is said on tonight change or transform somebody's mind, God. God. Change the way, their way of thinking, oh God, and that you may get the glory out of their lives. And we thank you, God, for preaching to us even now. We give you glory for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your relationship status with the Father? Is your relationship in good standing? What would God say your relationship status is with him? Would he say you're single? Single being says, we are together, but truthfully, you'll say, okay, is your relationship status, would he say you're single? You may say, okay, I'm in a relationship with God, but truthfully, you're making your own decisions. You doing what you want to do. You're not seeking him first. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is one of my best scriptures. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But what we do, we seek them last sometimes. We seek them after we done got into a whole bunch of mess or trouble, and then we ask him. So would he call us single? Would he say that we're single? Would he say that we are engaged? Having an agreement to marry, but you're too engaged in other things. You told me that we was going to get married, but you still never set a time or a date. Would he say that about you? And he's still waiting. He's still waiting on you to give him your all. So would he say that you are engaged? Would he say it's complicated? Would he say that you would say that this relationship is complicated? Selfishness causes you to selectively surrender. Selectively surrender. I'll give you this, Lord, but not this. Oh, I must be saying something in this house tonight. Amen, ceiling. I got about five amens up there. No. Are we selectively surrendering to God? What we want, when we want, how we want? So there's a partial relationship, but at times, I looked up the word complicated. It says difficult to understand, deal with, or explain. Sometimes we don't even go to God because where we are is difficult to understand, explain. So we just do one of these to God and just live our lives. And it's complicated. So would he say it's complicated? Would he say that you're divorced? Well, we were married, but the relationship officially ended because you walked away. Maybe because it was something I said or did. Or maybe you cheated, and because of the guilt, you divorced me. When I was standing there still waiting to forgive you and take you back. Is God saying that the relationship you have with him is a divorce? Or would he say that you are married, connected, joined as one, combined, combining things successfully, fitting together. Everything is great. You're seeking him. He is seeking me. I'm giving directions and they're following and their life is going well. You're acknowledging him in all of your ways and he's directing your path. Would he say that you're married? Or do you have one of these type of relationships? A name-dropping relationships. You know, when you go, you're trying to get somewhere and you need somebody on the inside. You need to know a name. You don't know them. You just a name. Do you just know his name? Do you just use his name? Is that the type of relationship? To get access, to get favor, to get perks? Is that the type of relationship you have? Or do you have a working relationship? Just tolerating him because you work with him. For work purposes only. I remember a time in my life I had this attitude. I was at a church where my assignment was to just lead worship. And I didn't have to play. I didn't have to teach choirs. I just had to go and lead worship. So this one particular week, I said, oh, I'm just going there. I ain't said nothing to God all week about nothing. Just like, I'm just going to sing these people under the pews. I got up and it was just like I was tone deaf. Like I couldn't hear notes. And that was very, very, very scary for me. So you cannot have just a working relationship. Okay, when I get to work, God, you're going to do you, and that's going to be that. No, you can't have that type of relationship. Do you have that type of relationship with him? That's what you call a working relationship. Is it a distant relationship? Occasionally, you talk to him. Occasionally, you go to him when something big happens, when something catastrophic happens. At funerals, you know, you have distant relatives that you see only at funerals and weddings. Is that the type of relationship you have? Like a genie or a Santa Claus, Lord, I need this, so now I'm talking to you, when you said nothing to him all week. And with the distant relationship, think about everything that you miss that he would have said to you. He could have said to you the opportunities, the decisions, any and everything that you would have missed because you don't have that relationship with God. And the last one, a public relationship. Are you just a public relations agent where you only have a relationship in the public? Do you really know him in secret, or is it so that you can gain so that people think that you know him? Or do you really know him? So you really do not get to experience the full benefits of God with these types of relationships. Amen? Because you really need to get to know him. And the song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. I love that line. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. But not just peace, joy. Imagine the joy that you forfeit, or the happiness that you forfeit, or the answers, the frustration, all of that you forfeit just because you've settled for one type of relationship with the Lord. And the needless pains, not just needless pains, but the heartbreak, but the wasted time, the things that you miss, all because you don't take that relationship to the next level. So I'm going to challenge you tonight to take your relationship with God to the next level so that we can fully benefit from everything that he has for us. Everything. So, a strong, committed, personal relationship. Somebody say that with me. Say, a strong, committed, personal relationship is what I want with the Father. Amen. The word relationship simply means a connection or a bond. Spending time. When you want to get to know someone, you spend more time with them. Conversation is prayer. And when you want to know more about a person, you read about them. You read about them. You read what they wrote. That's simply the word of God. You can really get to know a person to the point that you get a sense of what they would like, a sense of what they would say or do in certain situations. Anybody ever learn somebody in that way where, you know, well, I don't even have to ask this person. I know that they don't like that. Or I know they wouldn't want me to do that. That's how we need to get to know God. And when you get to know God more, you will want to worship him more. And the least you will want to let him down. The least you would want to let him down once you get to know him, because he's really just that good. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a few things that we benefit from having a strong relationship with God. When your relationship is strengthened, you learn to trust. I can trust God with my flaws, with my dysfunctions. I can trust him to remove the shame. He can remove the shame. And if you know anything about shame, it keeps you bound. Yes. It keeps you from walking in what you're, who you're supposed to be. So I can trust him with that. He won't talk about me. He won't judge me. He won't let me down. He won't look at me funny. He won't take his blessings away from me, but he'll fix me. Through relationship, I can just tell him, this is what it is, God, and I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I can trust God with my heart. I can trust him with my heart. I was writing a song that says, I should have gave you my heart from the start. It would have never gotten shattered, split apart. You will never kick it, bruise it, or throw it. Only create a new one and renew a right spirit. You can trust God with your heart. You can't trust man with your heart. You really cannot. And I had to learn that the hard way. And so I resulted. I should have just gave you my heart, period, Lord. I should have just gave it to you in the beginning. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I can trust God with directions. I don't have to guess. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be out here trying to figure out life. I can trust him to give me directions because he has my best interest at heart. He has the best plan for my life. So I can trust him. The Bible says his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I read that scripture and I was really thinking, I'm like, he didn't just say his word is a light to my path, but he also said it's a lamp to my feet. Because, you know, when you walk in, you got to watch where you walk as well as see where you're going. It's not just, but it's like, because you might step in something. And we've all stepped in some mess. I threw the shoes away because I just don't want to deal with it. But he's a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That's two things. He didn't just say the light to my path. So he'll help us to watch where we step. That his word will do that. Oh, my God, that's good. Do you know how long it takes to get that mess off your shoes? And you still smell it after all it sprayed it with bleach and everything. I said, listen, I'm just throwing these shoes away. That's how life is sometimes. It is just that stinky and just that messy. So he is a lamp unto our feet. But we got to use the lamp. We don't even use the lamp sometimes. We just be like, oh. Just stepping all in it. And then we waste time asking God to deal with this issue or these things that we've taken on ourselves. Look at your neighbor and say, use your lamp. Use it. Amen. So we can trust him for directions. We can trust that what he says is true, is sure, is certain. We never have to do a background check. We never have to double check behind him. We never have to use another source because he is the source. His word will stand forever. His word will never return to him void. I can trust, not only that, I can trust what he said about me because he made me. I don't have to believe the report of the doctor. I don't have to believe the report of my haters. I don't have to believe that. He said, I'm wonderfully made. He said, I am his handiwork. I am his masterpiece. I love that scripture, Ephesians 2:10. I am his masterpiece. That's what my daddy said about me. So I can believe what he said. And another thing is, he created me. If something is wrong with an item, you send it back to the manufacturer. If there's a dysfunction, you send it back to the one who created it. Because he knows all about it. He knows the ins and the outs about it. And he's the only one that can fix it. That's where you got to go. Not Nene and them, your friends. No. You send it back to the manufacturer. And he'll fix it. So I can trust him to fix me. I need no approval from anyone because of what my daddy said about me. Not only can I trust him, this is through having a strengthened relationship. That's what we're talking about. But he can trust us with secrets. The Bible says, okay, y'all can turn with me now to John 15 and 15. Am I doing all right? let me tell y'all, like, this, I'm using the real Bible because last time I preached, we didn't have electronic devices. That's how long it's been. So, and I'm going to read from, this is the New International Version, John 15. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Friends know secrets. He can trust us with secrets. That's the advantage that we have with being in a relationship with him. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. Because we're in this relationship, he tells us things that we wouldn't ordinarily know. We wouldn't know. But because of this tightness, we good. We here. He'll tell us secrets. As your relationship is strengthened, you will be able to totally rely on him. And I don't know if you know how much that brings about peace. When you can totally rely on someone, if you're a boss and you have reliable employees, you don't have to worry about, you know, the job is going to get done. When you can totally rely on him. That's peace. We spend a lot of time worrying about stuff that we cannot change. But when we, through our relationship with God, know that he's going to come through or that we can count on him, we don't have to be stressed out about it. We can go to sleep. That's the thing. Let me tell you. My kids know. I love to sleep. I want to go to sleep. So, I've come to a place where when I'm dealing with stuff and stuff happened that is beyond my control, I just be like, okay, God, this for you. You will handle this because I'm going to sleep. I got to go to sleep. But it's a great thing to just have total reliance in him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. Verses 8 through 10. And this is one of Paul's letters to Corinth. He said, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought that we would never live through it. Anybody ever been there? Okay. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raises the dead, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. That's the part. He will rescue us again. Why does he know that? Because he did it. Sometimes we have to go through some things in order to gain the ability to rely on him. And we learn the best from our experiences. But because Paul said he did it, basically, he said he will rescue us again. So that whole experience was for him to know, just rely on God. Amen? Amen. All right. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. Finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry, and I know he will finish the job. So that's the other thing. We can rely on him to finish what he started in us. Amen. As your relationship is strengthened, it will cause you to obey him. When you believe God has a better plan and your best interest at heart, you will realize that the best decision you can ever make is to follow him every single step along the way. He already figured it out for us. He already wrote the plan for our life. And sometimes we spend so much time trying to figure things out. And he already got the blueprint. And we allow ourselves to get sidetracked and backtracked for years and years of our lives because we did this. Or we were supposed to stay on the highway, but we got off at this exit. So we got off at that exit. We met Nene and whatever, whoever, and they caused us to get stuck for 3 years. Then we realized after we done got into some mess because we didn't seek God first, we went to seek him last. He said, get your behind back on that highway. We got on the highway. But guess what? We missed out so many things. Some time has been wasted. We wasted some time. There was something else at exit two that we were supposed to get in the last season. But we got stuck with Boo Boo and them. Oh, my God. A strong relationship promotes obedience. Obedience is better than what? You giving up some good stuff because you don't want to obey. Jesus. I can only tell you because I've been there and done that. Oh my gosh. Jeremiah 29:11. He wrote a plan for our life, and it's much better than anything or any of our own plans. Obeying God will eliminate sacrifice. And when you strengthen your relationship, everything in you should want to obey him. Sacrifice, giving up something valuable or important for somebody. Let me put a quarter right there. For somebody. I remember my prayers being, God, I'm so sorry. I gave this person this time thinking that they were going to change, and I neglected you, knowing that you never change. I neglected you, knowing that you would never do me wrong. I neglected you, or I only came back to you at times only because they messed up. I only came back to you because they crushed my heart. Giving up something valuable or important for somebody or something else considered to be of more value or importance. Sacrifice. We sacrifice a drama-free living for someone who brought a world of drama. I mean, and it don't have to be a relationship. It could be a friendship. If God said, okay, this friendship should be an arm reach friend, not a close associate, we sacrifice drama-free living sometimes, or peace sometimes, because we don't want to obey. When God simply told us not to get involved with that person, not to get involved with that association, not to take that job, not to go there, not to turn that corner, we sacrifice. And one sacrifice can get you once again, stuck for a very long time. So, a stronger relationship with God also promotes us to worship Him. Worship is not slow songs in a spooky atmosphere. We exercise our worship muscles in a worship experience where we can outwardly lift our hands and give God expressions through music and reverencing God by speaking well of Him. But worship means to bow down, to humble yourself. Worship, a life that is surrendered to God, is worship. When your body is a living sacrifice, that's worship. To revere God with your life, to respect Him with your decisions, all of that is worship. Devoted to Him and spending time with Him, a God-centered life, that is worship. So turn with me to John 4, verses 23-25. Talking about how your relationship causes you to worship, which will cause you to access the presence of the Lord, which will cause you to live an abundant life. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The phrase true worshipers leads me to believe that there are fake worshipers. I'm going to say that again. The phrase true worshipers leads me to believe that there are fake worshipers. True worshipers, those who will truly bring Him glory, not just give Him 2 hours on a Sunday, but living a life that is a reverence to Him, that reverences Him. True worshipers. Truth. I think about the word truth. Truthfully admitting to God your problems. They tell you, the only way you can get help is admitting that you have a problem. If you can't admit to God, Lord, I have a problem with this, you're not truly worshiping Him. You're faking the phone. Look at somebody and say, you're faking the phone. No, don't tell them. Not in here, at other churches. But worship leads you to be true to yourself and want to get it right.
That's right.
Truth in spirit and in truth. You're true about where you are. You're true about, sometimes, you know, in my prayers, like, Lord, I want Him. I want Him, Jesus. You know, I'm just telling Him the truth. But if He said, you know, that person is not for you, blah, 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 whatever, I'm like, okay. But I liberated myself by saying, okay, listen, this is what it is, Jesus. And you liberate yourself by telling the truth. So be truthful with God about where you are and what you want. It don't mean you're going to get it. It don't mean that. But it liberates you. The Bible, what the Bible say about the truth will make you free? Yes. So, spirit and in truth. Spirit. The Bible talks about walking in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are a spirit, but we live in a fleshly body. And we already know the flesh wars against the spirit. Galatians 5 and 7. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. Aren't you glad that God told us these things?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that we should be free because we know this stuff? And we should know what to do. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. So that's how you know you should be fighting. Not just, oh, well, I want to do this, and I'm going to do this. No. The spirit, what is contrary to the flesh? They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Worshiping God. I'm talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Dying daily, 1 Corinthians 9:27. I discipline my body like an athlete. I believe this is Paul speaking. Training it to do what it should. Another translation said, I beat my flesh into subjection. If you think about the word beat, there's nothing gentle and soft about beat. It's going to take some pressure. It's going to take some pain. It's going to take some effort. You got to beat your flesh. You're like, oh, come on, flesh. Oh, you want to do that? Okay. No. It's going to take some discipline. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete. So you got to die daily. You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship takes us, and I'm almost done, into his presence. Worship takes us into his presence where we can receive our transformation, revelation, and have an encounter with God. I'm going to read an excerpt from one of my books that I haven't had in my library by Joyce Myers. Anybody love Joyce Myers? I love her. How to Hear from God is the title of this book. And the subject is creating an atmosphere to hear God, to hear from God. And it says, to enjoy the fullness of God's presence, we must consistently maintain an atmosphere conducive to seeking him, honoring him, and being faithful and obedient to him. If we want to hear from God, we must yield our attitudes to the lordship of Jesus Christ and learn to be led of the Spirit in all of our ways. Not some, all of our ways. So, can somebody tell me how you spell the word run? Tell your neighbor how to spell the word run. Are you in good standing with the Father? Then you need to run to get there. Look at somebody and say run to get in a good relationship with the Father. If you're not in a strong relationship, if you just have a surface relationship, if you just have a high and by relationship, think about all of the things that you're missing out with the Father. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk upright. We holding up our own goods when we don't take advantage of him waiting for us to have this most beautiful relationship with us. So we need to run. Amen, saints? Amen. But however, I do need you to know this. The enemy will throw darts. He comes to do nothing else but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But God said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant. He wants to snatch your relationship. He wants to steal your relationship. He throw darts of distraction in our way. He'll throw something right in your path. Fellas, let the right dress come down the aisle. Let them be dark, thick, and tall, and yeah, ladies, with beard. No. Okay? Distractions. The enemy will throw, the enemy knows what you like. He knows what gets you. It could be a fragrance. It could be a song. When we were having karaoke, did y'all come to karaoke? When we were having karaoke, one of the ministers said, you got to be careful because, you know, you don't want the songs to remind you, you know. But thank God it was nice, clean fun. But it could be a song. Distraction. It could be offense. It could be you got offended by something somebody did, and now you can't work with that person, or is causing friction in your progress when that person didn't even intend to offend you. Amen. That's a distraction. What is a distraction? A disturbance, a disruption, a diversion, or confusion. So, enemy throw darts of confusion in your way. Did she just say that? Is she talking about me? That's a dart. Distraction. Distraction make you simply waste time and effort and energy and emotions on other stuff when you need that for other stuff. Y'all feel what I'm saying? But look at your neighbor and say, stay focused and in right relationship. All you got to do is seek God about it. That's all you got to do. Another dart that he throws is deception, misleading or tricking you. But stay focused. Here's the thing. If you know that the enemy is coming this way, it shouldn't take you by surprise. If you know that the Bible says he deceives us, it shouldn't take you by surprise. And the Bible also talks about the Holy Spirit being the revealer of all things. So when he come, we shouldn't be. He also throws doubt. That's another dart. But stay focused and in relationship. My last scripture that I want to, no, next to the last scripture. Job 22 and 21. It says, agree with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. I'm going to say it again because this is just good. Agree with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. God, I agree with you. Job 22 and 21. God, I agree with you when you said, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have towards you. I agree with you, God. When you told me to seek you first, I agree with you. I'm going to do that. And my last scripture, Psalm 16 and 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Joy is not even happiness. Joy surpasses happiness. And it's fullness of joy in his presence. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, the best place and the best thing that we can do is to get in, to have a strong, committed, personal relationship with God so that we can benefit from all of these things that he has for us. Everything that we talked about, being able to stay focused, being able to get a clear direction, being able to get answers. Our spiritual discernment will increase once we increase our relationship. When in the past we'd be like, well, I don't know, because the red flag never comes up. But once you strengthen your relationship with God, you'll see red flags. You just be, no, something ain't right. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but something ain't right. And that's what happens when you strengthen your relationship with God. So it's ultimately there. He's there to, the thing about God that is so awesome and so amazing is he has nothing but great stuff for us. He wants nothing but the best for us. Sometimes we feel like because we have let him down or because of the guilt that we carry, that we're not entitled to these blessings. But he wants us to live in abundance. He wants us to live a better life. He does not want us to have stress. Some of us are sick because of stress only because we don't take things to God in prayer. We don't talk to him about it. We don't seek God about certain things. I can remember a time in my life when I was going through some things and I just go to God in prayer and I just cry out to God. If I'm done that, I feel a lot better. I mean, I feel a lot better about the whole situation. Like, I don't know about you, but after I done that with God, rather than depending on some other substance, getting a drink or whatever, when I cry out to God about it, I get off the floor and I feel better about it. So all of these things happen when we are in a strong relationship with God, not just a high and by relationship, not just a working relationship, not just a public relations representative, but when we have a strong, committed personal relationship with God. So I encourage you today, if you don't have one, then let's go home and let's work on that. Amen? Amen. Any questions? Any questions? Amen. No, only one's the way. All right, if not, y'all, I thank y'all so much for just listening. I give God glory because this was so nerve-wracking for me, believe it or not. I could sing and I can play in front of hundreds of people, but when it comes to speaking, I have always been so nervous. But I felt so comfortable today about it, so yes. Some things that caused me to turn back to God. When I realized, the one thing that I told my daughter before she went to college was, the one true thing that's going to remain in your life is God. From the time you were a child to the time that you die, you can have access to his presence. You can close your eyes and you can pray and you can talk to him. And when I realized that he never changed, and when I realized he has all the answers and all of the solutions, and that there is nothing that I can go through in this life that he doesn't know about, I wrote a song called He Can Do It All. Whatever it is, it doesn't even matter. If I ever have to deal with losing a loved one, he can do it all. It does not matter. I am never hopeless. I am never just in a bad situation, as long as I got God. And my experience has taught me, go go back to God. Even if I was on the right track and I left him behind or I did one of these, I can always go back to God. And that's I'm grateful for that. And it's those things that it's his goodness that causes us to want to serve him, that should cause us to want to serve him and to be sold out for him. Amen. Thank you so much. Oh, you got a question? Okay. You got a mic back there? I can't hear you. She got one deep. Don't hurt.
I just want to thank you for you taking your time to pray and seeking God and allowing him to work through you and to be transparent with what you had to say. And we appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it back into the hands of... Oh, praise God. She said she's glad she came. Amen. I hope that something I said will, you know, bless you. So I'm going to turn it back into Deacon Nix. I said, 1 week. I don't want a month. I said, 1 week.